Turn in the Word of God tonight to 1 Peter 2, Peter's first epistle, chapter 2. And we're going to start reading in verse 11 of that chapter. 1 Peter 2, we'll start reading in verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. This far we read God's word tonight. Our text is found in that last verse. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The Apostle Peter, in this particular epistle, writes to Jewish Christians. Just as the Apostle Paul was sent to the Gentiles to preach the Word of God to the Gentiles, so also the Apostle Peter was sent to Jewish Christians. That was not prejudice on the part of Peter any more than it was on the part of the Apostle Paul. Neither does it mean that this Word of God that we consider tonight as God's saints today is not a word that applies to you and to me. It more than certainly does. It applies to all believers. We are considering tonight, after all, God's Word. And God's Word is written to His people, all His people, from every age and from every nation. It's timeless. Nevertheless, the intent of the Apostle Peter in his epistles is to address the particular needs of the Jewish Christians. Christians that had been now scattered throughout the various nations of the world due to persecution. This letter was sent far and wide, and it was sent into the various nations where we find that God's people had run or fled because of the persecution that had beset them in their homeland, Palestine itself. And for that reason, we find Peter addressing the needs of persecuted Christians. And he encourages them in the writing that we have before us. He encourages them, first of all, by telling them that Jesus Christ is their hope. They must look for that coming of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the clouds of heaven, because He is coming and He is going to gather His church from all the nations of this world. And then secondly, He comforts them by telling them that Christ is in fact their good shepherd, the one who cares for them no matter where they might be in this present world. That's the beautiful truth that Peter now sets forth for us in the words of our text tonight. Because Peter is addressing Jews predominantly, he makes reference oftentimes in his epistle to the Old Testament scriptures. The Jews knew the Old Testament scriptures. That was the Bible that they had. They were familiar with that. He does that also now in the context of the, and in the verse that we consider tonight. We read, for example, at the very end of verse 24, "By whose stripes ye were healed." That's an Old Testament reference. And then in the verse we consider, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." The reference that Peter is making here is to Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. We read there, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Not only does this reveal to you and to me tonight, people of God, the unity of the Scriptures, so that we see the New Testament Scripture teaching the same as the Old Testament Scripture, but it also reveals to us the meaning of the verse that we'll be considering tonight as well. So certainly Peter gives us a word of strength and comfort that is rooted in the cross of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Consider with me the bishop of our souls. In the first place, returned sheep. Secondly, caring shepherd. And then finally, restful souls. Notice once again the play on words that Peter uses in our text in order to comfort God's people. He clearly makes reference to the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 53, verse 6. At that time, Isaiah spoke to the apostate nation of Israel, a nation that had strayed away from God. And therefore, he uses these words to describe the people of Israel, that is, the Jews. And Isaiah says to them in the Old Testament, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord hath laid on us the iniquity of us all." Now, Peter addresses this same nation of Israel some 600 years later with the same words. And he says to them, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Compare that once. Isaiah says, "Ye have gone astray." And Peter now says, "Ye were gone astray." Isaiah said, "Ye have turned everyone to his own way." And Peter now says, "Ye have returned unto your shepherd." That was comfort. These words were comfort to God's people now in the new dispensation, the Christian Hebrews who had been scattered abroad throughout the world for their faith's sake. In this verse that we consider, of course, we find that the prophet Isaiah spiritually speaks to God's people of old and says to them, You've turned away from God. The God who has saved you, and you as sheep have gone astray, and everyone has turned into his own way. As foolish sheep, we find that God's people at that time had turned after their own ways and after their own lusts, and no longer were following their good shepherd, who was God Himself. But they were seeking after the gods now of the heathen, even to the point that they had forgotten their promised Messiah in order to follow after their own desires. Now Peter tells the Jewish Christians that was true. You were as sheep who went astray with all of the house of Israel. But now you, Hebrew Christians, have returned to the shepherd of your souls. You no longer stray as God's people did some 600 years ago, and as the nation of Judah was still doing at the time of Jesus Christ and after, and which the nation of Judah still does today, the nation of Israel. You were straying then, but now you're not straying anymore. You have returned unto the bishop and the shepherd of your souls. And that's true of you by God's grace. Because by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you have been healed. And even though you are scattered over all of the world and experience even persecution and alienation on account of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, you, Christian Jews, Peter says, belong to the sheepfold of Jesus Christ. You're no longer straying. Christ has gathered you into His sheepfold, and no matter where you are, He is your good shepherd and He is watching over you in all of your needs. Now, that was the immediate word of God to the Church of Jesus Christ at that time, those scattered Jewish believers. But you and I ought to understand the great spiritual truth now that undergirds this encouragement that's given to the church at that time, and that lay behind the teaching of Peter, a word that is equally encouraging to you and me who are believers today. It is this same truth that is expressed here in the words of our text that we will be able to find the greatest of all comfort and strength for ourselves. What Peter presents us here is with a spiritual picture of what we were all like. What we were like prior to our own salvation. Prior to the work of Jesus Christ in our lives, beloved saints, we were as sheep who had gone astray. And we were scattered on account of our unbelief. We were those who wandered about in the wilds and in the darkness of that unbelief. And from a spiritual point of view, we were foolish sheep. Sheep of God, chosen by God from eternity, but foolish sheep who wandered around in our own unbelief. Because we thought that we could find the green pastures and the still waters on our own. That we did not need God, and that we did not need Jesus Christ, but that we could find peace unto our souls in this life without them. In sin and unbelief, void of spiritual hearts and understanding, we each turned to our own way, and we each sought to find our own peace and our own joy in this world without following after God or our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. So we did what was right in our own eyes, and we refused to follow after that chief shepherd. That's the very characteristic, you understand, of unbelief. That's what unbelief is all about. An unbeliever is blinded spiritually to the ways of God and the things of His kingdom. An unbeliever refuses to follow after God. And he honestly believes that he will find a way of his own choosing in this world that will bring to him success and happiness. He doesn't need God. He doesn't need Jesus Christ. We see that all around us, don't we, in our present world. Almost everyone in this unbelieving world, and it's rather striking because psychiatry is big business in our present world and society, almost everyone in this world feels that they have to go to some kind of a counselor or some kind of a psychiatrist, whether they actually need him or not, because everyone in this world seems to be depressed with life, and they need somebody to give them some kind of good advice in order to settle their troubled souls. The world is filled with people like that. Or if they don't go to some psychiatrist, then they become hooked on alcohol or on drugs, whether those drugs be prescription drugs or whether those drugs be illegal drugs that are passed around. They need their marijuana in order that they can find some kind of joy and happiness in this life. I'll find it my own way. So they indulge in these baser sorts of means to find their happiness. Others think that it is by means of success and a name in this world, or by means of wealth, that they're somehow going to find their joy and their happiness in life. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. And we know exactly what that means. Because we too, as sheep, even being redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ, have a real tendency in us to stray as well. We still at times, don't we, want to follow in our own way, and we still think that we know the way that is better, so that people, believers even, will ignore the warnings of Scripture and will walk in the way of sin and wander from those green pastures of God's Word. They'll think that they'll be able to find their pleasure somehow, somewhere out there in this present world of sin. We're really no different than that, you know, by nature anyway. How many times Christ has had to apply His shepherd staff or rod to our backs or backsides in order to prod us back into the flock of our Lord Jesus Christ, where alone is found the safety, because that's Christ's fold. We know from these experiences, even in our own life, these hard knocks of our own lives, that we really would be no different than the ungodly, unbelieving world around us, other than by the grace of God, and that He has graciously delivered us from that blindness that covers yet the eyes of the world. And from these experiences, we know too that it is what it is to wander without any real direction or purpose in this life. But Peter says, and in saying so gives us great encouragement once again, but ye have returned. You have returned, he says, unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. We have returned to our shepherd, Jesus Christ. We strayed. Yes, we wandered about in our own sin, but we have returned. And notice what Peter, of course, describes as our actions. You have returned. You went astray, and you have returned. Now, as Reformed believers, that makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable, doesn't it? We'd much rather say, God has caused you to return unto His way. That's not the words that the Apostle Peter uses here. You have returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. These Jewish Christians had indeed returned unto the very Messiah that they had rejected as a nation. They had embraced Him and His cross. They believed in this Jesus Christ. They had consciously returned, willingly returned to the shepherd of their souls. And they found in Him now their joy and their peace, which they could not find in their work righteousness. The same is true of us, people of God. When we come to the cross of Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, we come. And we come to the cross of Jesus Christ because consciously we have come to know that the only way of peace and the only way of joy that we're going to find in life is in that cross of Jesus Christ. So we come to Him and we embrace Him and we embrace that salvation that He has earned for us over or on the cross, and we embrace Him as the true shepherd and the bishop of our souls. We turn to Jesus Christ consciously. We do. That doesn't mean, of course, that we ignore what the Scriptures teach us concerning our coming to Jesus Christ. We realize that all who come to God and the Father are drawn. Those who come to Jesus Christ are drawn by the Holy Spirit or by God Himself to Jesus Christ. In other words, that's a work of God's grace. We wouldn't come to Jesus Christ if left to our own. We're wandering sheep. We're straying sheep. We're foolish sheep. Unbelief would never allow us to come to Jesus Christ or to turn to Jesus Christ. That was Jesus' point, too, in John 6. We read in verse 44, "No man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him, and I will raise him at the last day," or 65, a little later on in the same discourse. "I therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto Me except it were given unto him by My Father." We certainly take that into account. Prophet Jeremiah says that. "Turn Me, Lord, and I shall be turned." So certainly when we turn or return to that shepherd and bishop of our souls, then it's not by an act of our own will. It's by an act of God's gracious mercy which He shows to us, by which He does activate our will so that we willingly now do turn to Jesus Christ. But we do turn. We turn. It's not as if we're forced by Christ to do that. It's not as if it's Christ turning in us that's turning to God. We turn. We turn. That's a work of salvation in and through you and me. That's what conversion is. Conversion, by the way, literally means to be turned. And when we're converted, we turn to Jesus Christ. And we find in Him all that is necessary for life. So clearly conversion, that is, the sinner turning to Christ, is a work of Christ in our salvation. And we ought to understand that clearly tonight, too. We were as sheep straying in unbelief and looking to ourselves for joy and happiness in life. And in that unbelief, we would not even acknowledge Christ. We would not even acknowledge God Himself. But we would just continue to wander aimlessly in this world, except that Jesus Christ came, was sent into this world, and by His stripes we have been healed. That healing took away our unbelief and has replaced it with faith in God. Christ has effected that by means of His work on the cross for you and me. And because of that work of Jesus Christ, we in faith now turn to the God of our salvation, and we return to the Shepherd and the Bishop of our souls. Christ turns us, and as a result, we turn. We turn. Why do we turn to Christ? Because He is, first of all, our Shepherd. Peter says that He is the Shepherd of our souls. And what a blessed relief that must have brought to these Jewish Christians who were suffering for Christ's sake. What blessed relief that brings to all of God's children in the midst of their burdens and in their cares. Christ is, first of all, our gentle, tender, caring, but powerful Shepherd. We've already found how He turns us. He turns us. As our Shepherd, He turns us from wandering about and wallowing in our sin. We think we know best where to find pastures that will feed us and waters that will quench our thirst. But we have found that we cannot find peace and joy in ourselves. Jesus Christ, our powerful and our gentle Shepherd, takes you and me, and He leads us. He leads us in this life in such a way that we can find peace and joy, even in the midst, oftentimes, of heavy, heavy burdens. And that because we are Christ's sheep. He has known us as His sheep from the very beginning of the world. We were chosen as His sheep. And by means of His Spirit that He sends forth to dwell in our hearts, He leads us now in His great love for us as His sheep. We belong to His little flock that Christ oftentimes addresses as His flock as well. And He takes that flock as a whole, and us as individual sheep in that flock, and He always leads us through this world into the safety of the fold. And there He watches over us, and He cares for us, because we belong to Him. In this life, isn't it true? In this life, we already experience the love and care of Christ, our Shepherd. It's there, in that flock of Christ, that we're given joy unspeakable. And that because Jesus Christ cares for the needs of our souls. He is the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. The soul, people of God, is that inner life of every person by which he is conscious that he or she is an individual, a life that is made up of one's thinking and one's desires. Let's face it, there is this inner life that goes on within every one of us in our thoughts and in our desires that nobody else knows about. True? Nobody else knows about it. I know about it. Those who are the closest to me and that I love very much, I'll let on a little more to them of what goes on in my thoughts and in my desires, so that they know perhaps more personally than anyone else in this world what goes on within me. But there is this whole realm of our thoughts and desires that nobody else knows except God. in Jesus Christ. They know what goes on within you and me, our souls. It's not our body. It's that inner life of my thoughts, everything that I'm thinking about in this life, all the impressions that I receive in this life, the desires that I have within me, oftentimes, which I'll never say to anybody else. That's what my soul is. The part of me that's conscious of my own individuality, who I am within. And I think that we can all, sitting here tonight, say that is that it is the hurting and the burdens and the cares that go on inside of us, in our hearts, that is, in our souls, that perhaps is the hardest pain of all to deal with. We can experience some pretty difficult physical pain in our lives. And we could deal with it. We could deal with it. I've dealt with it. Others have dealt with it. Pain that is almost to the point of being unbearable. And yet somehow we can deal with that external pain of our body. But the pain and the hurt that can go on within us is very, very difficult to deal with. Our souls can at times ache. Ache with doubts and fears. Ache with depression. With the hurt that can be inflicted upon us personally by others. With disappointments in this life. With failures in this life. Anxiety for what's going to happen in the future, with the pain that even physical sickness can't bring within me, in my soul. When we struggle with sin, that's an inner struggle. It's a struggle that goes in or that goes on in our thoughts, in the desires that at times we must squelch within us. Within our souls, all of these things seem to go on. And often these struggles become great burdens and great cares and great hurts that we are called upon to bear within ourselves. It's a whole realm there that goes on within. Well, Christ is the shepherd that cares for our souls. When God by His grace turns us to Christ, and when we flee to Him and lay our burdens upon Him, then He as our shepherd supplies us with strength enough, sometimes just enough, but strength enough to be able to bear those burdens. Christ is the shepherd of our souls, Peter tells us. His care, therefore, is soul care. I want to talk about a psychiatrist. Psychiatrist means one who cares for the soul. Christ is the one who is involved in the life of the child of God in soul care. Ah, blessed sheep of Christ's pasture. How we need to recognize exactly that truth from day to day. Why do we insist that somehow we are going to be able to find peace from our burdens somewhere other than Jesus Christ? Why do we have to try to reason around everything in order to solve this difficulty and this problem in my life in order to find some kind of peace and joy other than in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? Why are we looking here and there to find a cure for this problem and that problem of the soul when it's Christ, really, that we need? Do we have struggles in the home and family? Do we have the pressures of youth that are upon us? Do we have to deal with the extreme pain and sorrow of losing a loved one in death, or perhaps seeing a loved one slowly taken away because of sickness or disease. Sometimes we can struggle so hard against that, those kinds of things. Instead of taking them and laying them at the cross of Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, here I am. Uphold me. And give me the strength that's necessary in my life. Is there temptation in sin? Is there struggle within over such sin and its burden? Don't we know that Jesus Christ knows what's going on within us, in our thoughts and in our desires? And that He is our good shepherd, is able and willing to deal with that? Jesus Christ is touched with the feelings of our infirmities and was in all points tempted like as we are and yet without sin. That's our shepherd who knows our needs, who knows our burdens, who knows our cares. Yet we're not so quick to take them there and leave them there and ask for spiritual guidance and strength in order to fight against those sins and temptations in this life. I know that there are certain earthly means that God gives us to heal, especially is that true with the physical. We're thankful for doctors and for nurses that can deal with those kinds of things. And certainly we may use them. Even a certain measure of soul care can be given to us by fellow human beings that are trained exactly for that. Nothing wrong with seeking those things out when we need them. Nothing wrong with that. But we must ultimately realize that the peace and the joy that we're going to experience in heart and soul is going to be found at the cross of Jesus Christ, because by His stripes we are healed. The old hymn is true, you know. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Christ, people of God, is the shepherd of our souls. And Peter tells us He is also the bishop of our souls. And that gives additional strength to the child of God. A bishop is an overseer. He's one that watches over and powerfully protects those who are under His rule and supervision. Christ is our Master and our Lord. He is our overseer. He is our bishop. And He is the one who not only watches over our needs, but He is the one who protects us. We have the wonderful protection of that bishop of our souls. And it's, once again, when we fail to remember this that we can become so foolish as sheep and sometimes convince ourselves that we can handle everything for ourselves by means of our own strength. I can do it, and I can do it myself. Especially, you know, that's true when we're young. In the strength of youth, we can think that we are strong enough to withstand the greatest of our spiritual temptations that confront us, and that we are strong enough to take care of ourselves in the midst of this world. I'm of a strong character, and there are people who are of a very strong character and who perhaps won't falter and stumble as quickly as others might. Yet, nevertheless, we cannot go on in our own strength. We cannot. And when we try, and how often that happens when we as sheep go astray, we try to handle the situation on our own rather than falling upon our knees and seeking the bishop of our souls who watches over us and cares for us and who will protect us and seeking His strength in life. It's like it's not there, so we're not going to even try to get it. We'll go out on our own strength rather than seeking the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you know, people of God, that there's not a foe in this world that can harm you and me? Not even the gates of hell can prevail against the Church of Jesus Christ and against the believer. You and I are held in the almighty hand of our bishop. And he protects us. And there is no one and there is nothing in this world that will ever pluck us out of the hand of Jesus Christ. And although we can stumble sometimes because we like to try to go in our own strength, and though we can falter and we can fail in our lives, it's ultimately our Lord Jesus Christ that preserves you and me from ever falling away from Him. He watches over us and He cares for us and He protects us. That's the greatest of all truths that gives comfort to the child of God, to His sheep. He will not allow us to stray so far from Him that we go destroyed. Christ's hand is powerful and He upholds and guides us through this life. No matter what might confront us, the wicked world around us, or even our own sins, or Satan himself, powerful, powerful foe of the believer and of the church. And that's why ultimately we as the sheep of Jesus Christ flee to Him. Because we're divinely protected by our good shepherd and by the one who is the bishop of our souls. Christ has drawn us unto Himself. He has drawn us there so that we turn to Him as His sheep. And then He protects us and He keeps us within His fold and within His care. And it's there in the bosom of our good shepherd or of the bishop of our souls that again we can sing. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. See the peace? See the safety that that gives to us as God's people in this world? Why would we ever want to stray elsewhere? Our good shepherd takes us and leads us into green pastures and beside the still waters, and we find rest for our souls. Restful souls. He gives us His word. And that word strengthens us, and that word guides us through this life. And then Jesus Christ walks by our sides. Heard the poem, Footsteps in the Sand. Two sets of footsteps, and then at times in our life there's only one set. The man asks, "Why, Lord, at those hardest times of my life, were not You walking with me?" And Christ said, "My dear child, it was in the hardest times of your life that I carried you, and that one set of footsteps are mine." He walks beside us in all of our cares and in all of our needs. And we can cast those burdens upon our Lord, knowing that He cares for us. And we will hear Him say, "Fear not, little flock, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand." That gives us happiness. That gives us peace. That ultimately is what gives us joy in this life. Nothing else will. Not really. Nothing else will. We could try it. We could try it. We won't find it. Only when we are safe in the bosom of our good shepherd, held within his tender care, do we have peace. And with that peace, or when that peace attends life's way, then whatever our lot in life, whatever our pain, whatever our hurt, whatever sorrow that we feel inside, we will be able to say, it is well with my soul. Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful for thy word and the peace that passes all understanding, a peace that is given to us freely in the cross of Jesus Christ. And we are thankful too for the word that thou dost give unto us, that he is the shepherd and the bishop of our souls, and that in all things he cares for us. Father, we know our own weaknesses and our own aptness to stray into our own sins and into the thinking that we can go it on our own in our own strength. And we pray graciously, forgive us of those sins, preserve us in the blood of Christ, and wilt thou return us to that shepherd and bishop of our souls too, so that we can find that joy and that peace in him. Continue to guide us now in this day and use this word mightily in our hearts in this week to come as we confront the burdens and cares of this life. Hear our prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.